I'd have to say the biggest change has been in our ability to provide access to our holdings. We have about 10 billion pages of paper documents and millions of photographs, moving images, sound recordings, artifacts, electronic records at 44 facilities around the country. And unlike in a library, each of these is a unique original item. And when I started here back in 1991, users had to write to us with a question. We'd write back and tell them what we had, and then they'd order copies or visit the facility that held the material. This could take weeks or months. And today, we have descriptions of most of our materials online, as well as millions of digitized records. So people really have 24-hour access to us now. Our exhibits and education programs have also expanded to bring our holdings to more and more people. And we have a really energetic social media program that's helping reach out to new audiences. So all of this in the digitizing area has been the biggest change at the archives that I've seen.
One of the questions I have for you, Deborah, is kind of going back a little bit to your experience. This is kind of a good way to talk to federal employees about somebody who started at the National Archives a while ago, but you've kind of worked up and now you're the deputy archivist. I understand you started as a trainee. What are some of the things that you were doing then, and how have jobs in the National Archives changed over those 20 years?
When I started, I started as an archival trainee. My first assignment was in the motion picture branch. We didn't have computers on our desks or even available to us. We kind of worked by ourselves at a somewhat slower pace. Our user expectations were different. And today, when I see the people coming in, their skill sets are so much more varied. Back when I started, we were basically all history majors. And now we've got people with all sorts of different backgrounds, library science, history, business, computers. And technology and history are no longer separate. We're expecting someone to be able to blend all of these skills.
Now, in terms of NERA as an agency, I know you were involved in creating and now in actually implementing the Archives Charter for Change, and you're part of the steering committee for that effort, I understand, which looks to me like a pretty broad reorganization of the Archives leadership structure. Can you give us a flavor of what the Archives is trying to address in the Charter for Change, what sort of unmet needs, underserved missions you're trying to get at there?
Sure. I think the key to that document is that we've reorganized around our customers, not by geography, which is how we're organized to start. We had a lot of stovepipes, a lot of duplication, and we've brought a little more logic to that. And by doing so, we're hoping that we've pushed the decision-making closer to the people who serve the customers. We're really serious about creating a culture change here at the Archives, one that values employee participation and engagement and really rewards that. It's not just thanking people for their work, but really listening to it. Because the idea is that the people who serve the customers, who are closest to the customers, have the best ideas.
Let's talk a little bit more about what your workforce does. I mean, most Americans' knowledge of the Archives is probably kind of limited to what they see in the movies, like that movie National Treasure, maybe a visit to see some of the founding documents on a trip to D.C. But you guys have, I understand, 44 locations all throughout the country. So can you give us a sense of maybe two, three, four things the Archives does that people are generally unaware of, what your staff spends their time doing every day?
Sure. Well, we were established in 1934, and we are the federal agency responsible for preserving and making available the records of the federal government. So 3,500 employees at 44 facilities, including the 13 presidential libraries. We have regional archives around the country and record centers where federal agencies store records that are in low use or not current use. We have, as you said, our rotunda with the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And we have a very large museum program, not just in D.C., but around the country. People might be surprised to know about some of the other aspects of our mission. The National Historical Publications and Records Commission is a grant-making organization that's part of our agency. We run the Federal Register. We have the Information Security Oversight Office, which manages the federal government's security classification program. A new part of our mission is the Office of Government Information Services. They serve as a FOIA ombudsman for people trying to get information from the government. So we have a pretty varied mandate.
You mentioned the classification program. I want to spend a little bit of time on that. It seems to me that that's got to be just a huge challenge for NARA. It's simply because the volume of records that get created and have to be managed in a digital era, it just has to be overwhelming compared to the days of paper, right? How do you guys handle that challenge without being completely overwhelmed with this inundation of electronic records?
Right. Well, there's two challenges you pointed out there. There's the classification challenge where, you know, we're about access, but we also need to balance that with keeping secrets that need to be kept secret safe, as well as people's private information. So there's always that tension and that balance. And then electronic records, that's probably the biggest challenge we're facing today. It's not about paper anymore. It's an avalanche of electronic records is huge. And think about your own materials. Can you still access something on a floppy drive? Can you still see a home movie on beta? And we're trying to solve that challenge for the whole federal government. And we've been doing good work. We've been working with the agencies on how they manage their electronic records, and we've been building tools that allow us to get these records and save them and be able to make them available for many years to come. So we've been doing good work in that area, but it's a big challenge.
So let's talk about some of the goals that you have for this new position. You're starting it today, I understand. What do you hope to do?
Well, you know, it is a really interesting time to be a federal employee, and a lot of people are wondering if public service isn't really valued anymore. And my real goal, my main goal, is to help National Archives employees feel that they are valued. And that doesn't just mean thanking them for their work. It means really creating a culture where they're engaged and participate in decision-making, where they've got the tools and the training they need to do their jobs, and where their ideas and opinions are listened to. I believe that most of my colleagues really do want to provide outstanding service to our customers, and that as the people closest to the customers, they have the best ideas for doing so. Over the past year, we've used social media tools internally to solicit employee feedback on a variety of topics, and I think it's starting to make a difference. I really am committed to keeping up that process and expanding it. The archivist, David Ferriero, has said he wants the National Archives to be one of the best places to work in the federal government, and I really feel strongly about helping make that happen.